speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
How do you feel about change? Change in life. I find is that some people are very excited whenever there are changes coming about. Whenever somebody's getting ready to move, a lot of times the family gets all worked up and excited about a move. Why? Because it offers some great and exciting adventures. Yet at the same time, not everyone is excited about changes whenever they come about. Some people worry about changes, and sometimes they'll worry about changes that will never really and truly come about. And God tells us as His people that we are to be anxious about nothing. We should not allow our lives to be dictated by worry or about concerns. Why? Because we need to always trust in our God. Some people also, though, dread change. I know whenever we were moving from Knoxville, having finished the school to Pennsylvania, Miranda just dreaded the change because she had made friends with the kids there at Knoxville. And then when we were moving here, she was in the same way, kind of dreaded the move because of all the friends and connections. And people are like that, not just with Miranda, but others are like that. They dread change. You know, change is indeed a part of our life. We find in a number of ways how that we change, and as we look to the changes we go through in life, our bodies undergo constant changes throughout the entirety of our time here. Take into consideration, as we grow older, we change a lot. I read something as I was on my way to the building this morning where an individual has on their billboard that I'm in shape. And it says, round is a shape. We're always changing shape, if you would. And that's just a part of life. And as we grow older, guys, that if it's in the gene pool, you may be like me. You may lose your hair. We're all going to go through, and we do go through, multiple changes in and throughout the course of our lives. Also, though, I want us to think about is that our lives are driven by the changes we find in technology. I remember as a young boy sitting and watching television on a black and white screen out at my grandparents, and whenever they got a colored television set, my granddad was all upset about the fact that it had changed the way that things were presented. Boy, if he could only see the things we have nowadays. Computers, and how that not only do we have computers in our homes and we're able to do these things in our homes, we have them in our businesses, and we carry them on our smartphones. And we're driven by the change, the technology, and all the changes that is going on a continual basis. And as Christians, we need to be very careful with those changes and not to allow them to govern or to dictate our lives in a worldly way, but rather to use these changes from a technology standpoint to the glory and honor of our God. Friends, also, though, there are some changes that we need to be made aware of and to be cautious of. We live in a world today where there are others who are serving as change agents. And what I mean by that is that their morals and their ethics, their standards are not in compliance to the will of God. You and I do not line up with them. And in that, though, they are trying to transform the world into a more liberal way of thinking and a more liberal lifestyle. And whenever it comes to these type of change agents, we need to identify them. And then in like figure, we need to avoid them. But at the same time, if we have an opportunity, we need to confront them and to tell them that we do not appreciate where it is that they are seeking to take us as a society, as a nation. And then we need to do all that is within our power to do, that we can do, to change that them. And if we can't change them, to change the positions that they might be in, so that they do no longer have that negative impact upon our lives and upon society. Our stand, biblically, must never change. We must always stand for the truth. We look at some things that we deal with in the church, and some things are a matter of tradition. And what I mean by that is that there are some things that we may say or we may do take into consideration our potlucks. We have potlucks where that we will just bring whatever. And that's a tradition. We have others where we will specify as to what we're going to bring, and that's a matter of opinion or a matter of a preference. When it comes to traditional things or matters of opinion, those things don't really amount to a hill of beans. And we need to understand that and to say that when it comes to those things, they're trivial matters, and therefore I'm not going to fight or to feud over those things that really and truly don't matter in the sight of God, and because it doesn't matter to God, it's not going to matter to me either. But when it comes to doctrinal matters, whenever it comes to the things that God says we must do, whenever it comes to biblical commandments, these things cannot be altered. These things cannot be considered, or we cannot say it's just a matter of opinion. We've got to stand where God tells us to stand and never allow ourselves to be persuaded to change or to compromise for the sake of the feelings of individuals or for the sake of even the projection of where someone wants us to go. When we look in regard to the world, we find is that there is a lot of change going on in the religious world. Take into consideration religious communities. We find that in the mass of the denominational world is that worship has become showtime. And what I mean by that is that they engage in the playing of instrumental music. They have pianos. They will have opportunities where that they will even have a band on the stage, if you would. And I call it the stage rather than a podium because in reality that's what they're using it for. And they will use these instruments in what they say is praise to God. But in reality, friends, it is a form of entertainment before the audience that is there. Why do I say that? Because those things are not authorized by God. Also, though, I'm astounded by what we see and read from time to time. I was on Facebook this last weekend, an individual in a denomination that I've reached out to in the past and hope to have an influence upon. They're a part of a denomination, and they were talking about how that they had gotten together for their drama practice in their denomination, and they practice theater, and they have plays and things of that nature as they would come together to worship and to praise God. And friends, it's not about theater or drama, but rather it is about preaching and teaching the Word of God. It's about presenting the sovereign God and exalting and extolling His holy and righteous name and approaching Him in a matter of reverence. Why? Because He is the only one who is deserving to be revered. And as we think in regard to the way in which the denominational world looks to worship as a way of showtime or entertainment, it is all about feeling good versus looking to the reality of what God wants His people to look to, and that is, what is truth and what must I do in order to serve God faithfully during the course of our life? That's what real, true worship is all about. But then in like figure, we find is that there are some who are spiritually weak and they see God's grace as a coverall. They feel as if when they become a Christian that it's a once and done deal. But friends, at the same time, the Bible identifies for us that while we receive God's forgiveness in baptism, is that it does not stop there, that only begins our relationship with God. And now we must repent of our sin. And repentance means to turn away from. It's to turn 180 degrees and to walk in the opposite direction that we once walked in or lived in order for us to glorify God. And yet at the same time, there are individuals in the denominational world and even in the Lord's church who tell us that the Scripture doesn't mean what it once meant whenever it comes to certain matters, take into consideration marriage, divorce, and remarriage. There are so many liberals in the church today who want to embrace those who cannot biblically be married, and they say that God really and truly didn't mean what He said back then. Or they say that the things that were given back then, that they were stated in a cultural context that no longer applies for today. And there are even individuals who want to do away with the gospel accounts and to put them in the Old Testament Scripture to say that they're not applicable for us today. And why do they do that? Because they want to justify their theological stands, or maybe they even want to justify a stand or a position of which they themselves are in, and would be condemned if they were really and truly to accept what God says. The spiritually weak are trying to take God's grace as a coverall concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and even social drinking. And friends, the Bible still says what it says. And God says what He says, and He means what He says all along. We also understand that the sinful world pushes for universal acceptance. Friends, I am sick and tired of ISIS, Islam. But you know, not only am I tired of what we're seeing take place over in the Middle East, but I am sick and tired. I'm totally exhausted by what I hear from our political leaders, saying that we need to be more considerate, saying that we need to be more accepting concerning these individuals who hate us and want to destroy us. And friends, God is about love. There's no doubt about it. But God is also about people embracing Him and repenting and turning from their evil and wicked ways. And if Islam wants to really and truly serve God, they need to come to the God of the Bible and not serve Allah. And those things should not be pushed upon us. But it's not only whenever it comes to Islam, it's also whenever it comes to in the homosexual community and things. And people are telling us that it is an alternate way of life, and that they're dealing with these things because that's the way in which God has created them, and that they have chemical imbalance. And friends, maybe they do have some sort of a chemical imbalance. Maybe some are more prone to go in that direction. But the bottom line is that God says is that the relationship that He authorizes for marriage is between a man and a woman. And in that, every single one of us has a right and a freedom and the power to choose what we're going to do. And if you are dealing with a chemical imbalance that says you need to go and to be a homosexual, you take control of your life and you say, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm going to glorify God with my life. That same argument, friends, can be used with that individual who is a rapist. And they say that he has or she has a chemical imbalance. Do we say we need to embrace the rapist? Absolutely not. Or what about the murderer who has that chemical imbalance? The bottom line is, God said what He has said concerning these matters, and that's all that matters. And now we need to understand what God says and to embrace what He has authorized and go only according to that standard. The Lord's church must continually stand guard. And friends, how do we stand guard within the eldership? We stand guard in regard to watching over the flock and feeding the church over to which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers. And as preachers, as a gospel preacher, I take very serious my role here as well as an elder, and looking to the things that we need to teach and to make sure that not only do we teach truth, but we also teach those things that are from a balanced perspective. And then we preach and teach those things that are timely, in a timely fashion, so that we deal with these matters. And the elders and the preacher play very significant roles in making sure that we do not change as a congregation to the more liberal angles that are out there today. But each and every member also plays a very significant and serious role in making sure that we stand where God wants us to stand. We must stand together, united, and to understand that we serve a God who does not change. And because God does not change and His Word never changes in like figure, you and I must always stand then in line with Him if we want to glorify Him and if we want to please Him and if we expect to dwell eternally in heaven with Him in the end. Why do people change sometimes? I believe it's due to confusion by liberal theologians. Denominational doctrine has done so much harm. Individuals that I speak with from time to time, they will say that's not what my preacher says. Or they will say that's not the way that I have been raised. Or they'll say that's not the way that I have been taught to understand the Scripture. And in that, what we deal with when we speak with people about God's Word is we deal with it as we do from our sermons as well as within our classes, that we lay things out from a contextual standpoint. To whom was God writing to? And what did it mean to those individuals from an event standpoint as well as from a cultural background? And as God presents that message and these people see these things and it doesn't line up with what they have been taught or with the things that they have believed and been reared according to from their childhood, they're challenged with this and they're so confused. And it takes so much to tear that apart to bring them to a true and proper understanding of the truth more times than not. But you know, sometimes people are influenced by the circumstances they face in life. I wish that I could stand before you today and tell you that every gospel preacher that has ever preached within the Lord's church throughout the brotherhood has been faithful all the way through and through. But friends, that's not the case. I know one individual who used to serve as a director in a brotherhood school who actually had an affair with a secretary and ended up marrying that secretary, and he changed his position on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I contacted him several years ago and I asked him, I said, do you still hold to this position that I know that you held to back several years ago that is unscriptural? And he says, well, I don't see that it's unscriptural as you would present it. And I said, well, God's Word has not changed. You're the one who changed your position on that. And he says, well, I was wrong. And I said, well, why were you wrong? And he says, you don't understand. And I said, you're right. I don't. I'm not in that position, but I do understand what the Scripture says. God has not changed. People will change their position on marriage, divorce, and remarriage or on social drinking simply because it's where they are now, and therefore it's more fitting for them to change, to try and twist what God says so that they'll feel better about themselves. Or usually what we find is that parents will change whenever their children are involved in these ungodly and unscriptural positions. And friends, God's Word says what it says, and God means what He says always. And no matter if we're in a position that is not right, or if our children, our family, or friends find themselves in unscriptural positions, then our changing our mindset about it is not going to change where they stand with God. The only change that will result in a positive in the sight of God is if they come out of that sin and stand right with God. That's the change that must take place is within the individual to align again with God. You know, though, sometimes people that we speak to and that we hear and deal with, they are swayed by liberal party political agendas. About 3 years ago, I did a lesson here that was about the upcoming election. And I talked about, at that time, abortion, homosexuality, and a number of other issues. And we approached that lesson from that standpoint. And during that lesson, I encouraged that we need to vote as Christians. We don't need to vote as Democrats or as Republicans. We don't need to hold party lines, but rather we need to hold to the line that God expects us to hold to as Christians. And friends, as a result of that, there was one individual who got really upset and came to me and told me off, and he and his family no longer are here. He held to his party lines. And another individual, I was told, had gone to the elders at that time and said, if he preaches something like that again, me and my family, we may have to go elsewhere. And the elders told me, they said, you preach and teach the truth. Don't worry about what people say. And to the eldership, I say, amen. Thank you for that. Friends, our political stands our party lines should not mean anything when it comes to our stand with God. We are Christians first, and we need to make sure that when we vote or whenever we do anything in society, is that we're dealing with ourselves and we're dealing with all matters from that standpoint. Others are pulled by a sympathetic heart towards the lost, and they'll look to situations that individuals are in, or they'll look to various sins, and they'll say, Surely God's not going to condemn my family member for this or for that, or surely God's not going to condemn my friend, or even outside of the realm of family and friends, they'll say, surely God's love is bigger, or surely God's grace is much broader than what we presented as. And friends, our sympathetic heart towards these individuals, if we would alter or change to try and say that they're going to in some way be acceptable to God, it doesn't change where they stand with God. Our heart's desire ought to be as what the Apostle Paul's was over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2. He says, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. And Paul didn't change his perspective because of his heart for Israel. Rather, he says, I want Israel to have a pricked heart, and that Israel will turn from their evil ways, and that they will embrace the Christ, the Messiah, and that they will submit or surrender themselves on a continual basis to Him. And that's the position that you and I must continue to take as we look to the lost souls in this world. What does the Bible teach in regard to the unchangeable attributes of God? Friends, we understand that the person of God never changes. Our God is eternal in His existence. He has always existed and He will always exist. And we look in regard to the nature and the sovereignty of God. God will always be the type of individual that He has always been. The character of God never changes. When we look about the love of God, we can understand that God has always been about love. In fact, God is love, the Scripture tells us. And that tells, in understanding that, that tells us then that God is the essence of what really and truly love, God is the essence of what love really and truly is all about. If we want a definition of love, we need to turn to the Bible and see what God is. And His love is embracing. His love is forgiving. But friends, also His love is disciplinary. And not only do we see that God is love, God is also a God of wrath. And the Scripture tells us that we need to consider the goodness and the severity of God. But then also, in regard to the unchangeable attributes of God, we see that the holy standards of God will never change. Friends, the revelation is complete. Jude and verse 3. He's given unto us the completion of His will. And when the canonization of the Scripture came together to where we have it unto this very day, it has not changed, it has not been altered. Now, I will say that there are some very loose translations out there that we need to be very careful of, and that we should not study from. And as we look, though, to the good translations that we have, we need to understand that we have excellent translations that still align with God's Word. And in looking to those translations, we can understand what God's standard is, and that standard as it is given, it will never change. And therefore, you and I do not have the right to ever question or to change the things that are written therein. We must study them and embrace them, apply them to our lives and to our all manner of worship. The divine will of God for mankind also never changes. And we find in the denominational world, and even in the liberal congregations, where that people are trying to alter God's will to fit various ones in, or to make it to where people can come in according to different ways. And friends, the way that God has presented His will, there isn't but one way. And in fact, Jesus spoke of that in John 14 and verse 6. And very simply, but very specifically saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, singular, the way, the truth, and the life. no man comes unto the Father except through me. And Christ has defined God's will continually during His life here, and then has communicated that will through the Holy Spirit, working on the behalf of God through inspired men who have given us the full conveyance of God's message today. And friends, with God's will, it will never change. And we need to praise God for that. Why? Because it gives us hope that if we live according to His will, that someday we will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him. Can you imagine how terrible it would be if we did not have that unchanging standard and the unchanging God? We would be most pitiful. Amen? But as it is, as Christians, we can be most joyful knowing that there is hope beyond this life of that eternal reward someday. This morning, if you are outside of the body of Christ, we want to encourage you to change your life that you might come in line with the will of God by confessing Christ to be the Son of God, submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you then might be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and you are an erring brother or sister, and we can pray with you and for you that you might be restored, we also invite you as